Remaker's Mark, Episode 60, Stir Crazy. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remaker's Mark. Here we are in the Sidney Poitier-directed film Stir Crazy. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Actually, Andy is not with us tonight. He is feeling under the weather. We are keeping our fingers crossed that he gets well soon. So we do not have an Andy today. The part of Andy will be played by Jer as far as picks goes. So we've got that looking forward to. Speaking of, Jeremy Nielsen is here. Jeremy, how are you doing tonight? And tying into some content of the movie, as usual, would you rather bull ride in a rodeo or wear a ridiculous costume to promote a bank?
I'm doing quite well, and I'm not a fan of banks or costumes, so I'm going to say bull ride in a rodeo.
All right, fair enough. Lee Helsinki, how are you tonight? And what about you? Would you rather bull ride in a rodeo or wear a ridiculous costume to promote a bank?
I'm well, and I think I would rather do the costume because the bull riding sounds really awful.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good choice. Mark Josting, how are you tonight, and what about you? Bull ride or ridiculous costume?
I'm well, thank you. And I wouldn't ordinarily choose to promote a bank, but if the alternative is, you know, facing the horns of a bull, I think I will choose to promote a bank.
Fair enough. Would you be okay wearing a chicken costume?
Even a woodpecker, yes.
Oh, was it a woodpecker? That's right. You're right.
They were woodpeckers, in fact.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry, it was the plumage that got me.
It's always the plumage.
It's always that darn plumage. My name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host once again this fine evening. And I got to go with a ridiculous costume. I'm old, and I find like every time that I do something that extends my abilities physically more than 5% more than it was 5 minutes prior, I really feel it. And I feel like bull riding is about 500% farther. So yeesh, that's rough. So I think I would be much worse for the wear were I to ride a bull. So I'll don a woodpecker costume. So let us move on to the Remaker's Mark recommend segment where we will be discussing the recommendation. It is my pick since Stir Crazy was my movie, and I'm going to recommend a podcast. Shocker, I know. The podcast that I'm going to recommend is one that I really think that all of us on this show will really enjoy. And if you have any kind of musical inkling and interest in, you know, deep analysis of popular music, I think it's one that you will really, really enjoy. The podcast is called Strong Songs, and each episode does a deep dive into one particular song. I started it with Hyper Ballad by Bjork, which Ooh. Is an amazing song, and his breakdown of it is just extraordinary. The person that hosts it, I can't remember where he went to school, but he went to music school, and he's got like a whole home studio. And he can really replicate most of what is recorded. Like he can replicate synth lines. He can, you know, I don't know if he has e-drums or actual drums. He's got a bass guitar. And he talks in a way that is informed as far as music theory goes. Like, you know, he'll say like, well, they're using the Dorian mode here, but you don't really need to know that. But if you know what that is, that would be interesting to you. So he speaks about it in a way that if you know what he's talking about, you'd be like, oh, okay, got it. It's Mixolydian, not Dorian or whatever. But it's you don't have to have that knowledge in order to understand or appreciate the podcast. So he goes deep. He talks about song structure. He talks about keys. He talks about the bandmates. The last one that I listened to was Love Fool by the Cardigans. And he basically talks about how the song had two histories for him. The history of it being part of the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack when initially came out. And then later, when someone recommended that he listen to the album First Band on the Moon, he viewed the song completely differently. And he kind of broke down the album leading up to Love Fool. So analyzed very quickly, but giving you kind of the feel of the album leading up to it, and then went deep on Love Fool. And it's so great, just so great. I highly recommend it. I think you all will really, really, really enjoy it. And as usual, kind of like with Remaker's Mark, when people ask, well, what one should I start with? For Remaker's Mark, I always say, like, find the movie that you know and know the characters and know the plot and really appreciate it and start with that, right? So I would go through their history and download, like, 10 of the songs that you know well and love. And trust me, there will be like 20 more that you'd be like, well, I'll do those after these 10 are done. It is so good. I think you'll really, really like it. So strong songs.
Kyle, is he the one that did the deep dive on Girl from Ipanema?
Ooh, I don't think so, but I don't know.
Okay. Maybe it's a different, similarly styled podcast-y type thing that I saw, and it was fascinating.
Yeah, there are you know, a couple other podcasts, like one that I really like, Switched on Pop, which talks more about kind of the modern pop environment and how it ties into sort of musical history, and there is some analysis of that. So there's lots of them that are kind of similar to this. This one just goes kind of one level deeper from a musical theory perspective, but so that is intriguing to me. I don't know a lot about what he is talking about. Like, I don't know, you know, B flat minor Dorian scales or whatever, but like him talking about it establishes the framework in whole. And because of that, it makes it that much more of an interesting of a journey, which is really cool. Mark, you will flip out at this. Like, I think you're, from a theory perspective, you are our rock star in that regard. So I think you will really, really dig it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah. If you want to start with Hyper Ballad, that's a real, real good one to start with.
Yeah. And I love that song. So
I know. Me too.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Jer, normally this would be Andy, but do you mind going through the summary and our history with Stir Crazy?
Indeed. Stir Crazy is a 1980 buddy comedy starring Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, directed by Sidney Poitier. Wilder and Pryor are buddies who decide to leave New York City for the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, only to be temporarily waylaid somewhere in the West, serving as a song and dance mascot duo for a local bank. Stay with me on this one. Then they get framed for armed robbery, go to jail, and... are you ready? Gene Wilder is apparently really good at riding mechanical bulls. And it turns out the warden has a bet with another prison about winning the, hold on, annual prison rodeo contest. Hilarity ensues?
That is the correct reaction.
Kyle, this was your pick, and go ahead and give us the rundown on why you picked it and what your history is.
Sure. So this is my choice in the series that we are in the middle of films that are directed by Black directors. This is directed by Sidney Poitier. I found it very interesting when I was researching his movies that so many of them are kind of screwball-y. You know, I think of him as an actor, and he's certainly done lighter fare, but so much of his acting is really, you know, very drama forward. So I kind of imagined that there would be a lot of drama fare, but so much of his are really goofy, and this definitely falls in that land. You know, it is a very weird, very kooky, goofy movie. And so that's how I came to choose it. I was so excited about the possibility of recasting Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, who are the two leads in this, as we mentioned. So that's really why I chose it. And I hadn't seen it. So this is my first time seeing it. I think a lot of us mentioned that they had seen it before. I honestly don't even know if I'd heard of it. I really think of like the Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder movies. Like, I can think of See No Evil, Hear No Evil, but I don't know if I've seen any other one besides that. So I got some backfill to do in that regard. Does anybody else have history with it?
If my memory serves, none of us had seen this.
I hadn't.
Interesting.
I thought maybe I had many years ago or something like that, and I just didn't remember. But upon rewatching it, I didn't recognize any of it. So I think this is the first time I saw it.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe we just had awareness of it. It was considered by a couple people as possible choices, but didn't end up going with it. Or I wixed Mark, who I think had an idea of potentially picking his, but he comes last. So, yeah.
I thought I had seen it, and in my memory of seeing it, they were in chicken costumes. So I could be thinking of something completely different.
I had that same thought, but it turns out that I had just seen the cover 100 times in video rental stores.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's exactly it.
It is a pretty indelible image. I'll give you that.
That's exactly how I saw Friday the 13th Part 4. Final chapter.
Entirely based on the cover.
Yep. It's like, oh, I feel like I've seen it now.
It's funny. So as usual, in part one of the movie here, we will be recasting the movie. We are going to recast two major roles and five minor roles. The first major role is that of Skip. Mark, tell us about Skip.
Certainly. originally played by Gene Wilder, Skip Donahue is an aspiring playwright with big dreams. He is a gentle and upbeat soul who begins to dream of leaving New York City after a life of not writing plays begins to wear on him. And he does find life on the road refreshing until he is framed for bank robbery and thrown in prison, which I admit would also get me down.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. I find the character of Skip really interesting. Like, he seems as passive as he is confident, which is a lot of both, and that's strange to me. But Gene Wilder makes it work. I like that combination of being gentle and unassuming, but also very confident, which really steered my casting decision on this one. I ordinarily wouldn't ever think of this guy to replace Gene Wilder, but I like the combination of traits that I saw in Skip Donahue for this guy. And so I picked Jon Favreau.
Nice.
Ooh, interesting. I'm very intrigued to see him on a bull. That is going to be something. I feel like there's going to be a couple jokes about at the bull's expense for that, but that's that's pretty great.
I mean, I hadn't thought about that.
He's not a small man.
No, he's not. But he was nice and trim for Swingers. Maybe he could get there again.
Yeah, fair. He's got that Star Wars bank now. He's eating well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, his day can look like work out to the gym, play with Star Wars action figures with Dave Filoni, and then work out at the gym again.
We should we'll have to see if we can put the kind of meme image of that, because it is so great and so perfect, and I love it.
Yes.
Nice. Good pick.
Thanks. Hey, Kyle, speaking of you, who did you pick?
Hey. So one of the things that is most telling, or things that I think about when I think of Gene Wilder, is just really variety and diversity. Like, he can play a lot of different types of characters, and his eyes. His eyes just have this kind of sparkle or glow. Like, they're not big and broad, but they just have a look where you don't quite know what's going to happen at any given moment. And I love that about him. And this character, from a plot perspective, as we've kind of summarized it, really leans into that. It's a very interesting character. He's like kind of straightforward, but then is really good at bull riding, but is really unsettled as far as his kind of where he is in life. So he really has a lot of things up in the air. And I wanted to try to mix it up a little bit in terms of the casting of this. So I decided to go with someone who shows great range, who has the ability to not really know where things are going to go for any given moment, and has the most amazing eyes in that regard. And I decided to go with Maya Rudolph for this.
Wow.
She is amazing. She can do anything, as has been displayed in several movies and especially SNL. She is just incredibly talented and can really go anywhere that she needs to go as far as character development goes. I don't really know how the whole prison part will work, but, you know, maybe it's just a women's prison instead, and they have women riding bulls. Stranger things have happened, right? I mean, it's not any weirder than men riding bulls. It's just weird. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll figure that out. But I just think Maya Rudolph would be extraordinary.
I agree on 2 points, that Maya Rudolph would be fantastic, and that any human riding a bull is pretty weird.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is there a butt in that conversation, or is that's everything?
Nah, maybe okay. A sore butt from riding a bull.
Fair enough. Yes, fair enough. Indeed. Cool. Yeah, I'm with you there, as I've noted. Next up is Andy Jair. Will you announce Andy's pick and then just try to guess why he picked that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Andy, he's looking for somebody that can kind of play that very good-natured, just this sort of unflappable kind of just you're never going to wipe the positive off of their face. They're just always going to be looking for the bright side. They're always going to have a smile and a positive thing, a positive spin on things, even when they're in prison. And so he went with Scrubs' own Zach Braff.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
Okay. Yeah,
I actually like that.
Yeah, I can see it.
Very limber, as is Gene Wilder.
Yeah,
very
got that same kind of gangliness.
Yeah, it's like the epitome of the bendy man that we talked about before. In gosh, what was that? Oh, it was in what was the Steve Martin one?
All of Me.
All of me. There you go. Yeah, yeah, the straight man and the bendy man. He's literally the bendy man. Yep.
Bendy man.
Yep.
Yeah. So that is Andy's pick, in a completely different direction. I wanted some. So this character of Skip is bizarre to me, and I never really could pigeonhole exactly what either the director or what Gene Wilder was trying to do with it. Like he always seemed like there was nothing that was going to sour him on anything, except for like one brief moment in the prison when it seemed like it was just a reason to have a gag where they pretended to be insane for a minute and then it was over. And then like two scenes later, he's in solitary confinement and it's like, oh, this is the great, you know, I'm finding myself in here or whatever. And so I wanted somebody that was going to play just that eternal positivity, but also kind of in almost a dopey sort of, not naive, but like just a like that grin that somebody like Craig T. Nelson's character just wants to wipe off. Like there people are just mad at him for being so positive. And all he does is he just wants to, you know, move on to the next thing. And he's perfectly happy doing whatever is going on around him. And maybe he wants to dance a little. And that's why I went with Paul Rudd.
Nice.
Such a good dancer.
He's a great dancer. And I can't picture him not being happy. Even though I've seen movies where he's not happy. But he just is always that sort of eternal optimist to an almost naive degree.
He just does that so well.
He does that very well. Yep.
I just rewatched Captain America: Civil War, and that movie is so heavy. There's just like so much heaviness in the whole plot, you know, the Avengers going against each other. And then he shows up at the end of it as Ant-Man, and he just breathes this beautiful life into it. Both him and Spider-Man show up there, and like they absolutely steal the show in that huge battle at the airport, because they're both just like, holy crap, holy crap, hey, I'm Ant-Man, hey, oh, Spider-Man, cool, good to see you. It's so goofy and just down for whatever. I love that. That's so great.
One of my favorite lines in that whole part that kind of encapsulates that is one of them, I don't remember who it is, says to Spider-Man, I don't know if you've been in a battle before, but it's usually not this much talking.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, sorry. Because he's just like so amazed and excited about everything.
Yeah. I think that was the intro to Tom Holland and that character, right? Like they hadn't done a Spider-Man movie before that. That was like the beginning of that iteration.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. And then they did.
Well, he showed up in a post-credits something before that.
Oh, okay.
With him and Iron Man. But okay. Yeah. Oh, anyway.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Let's round out Skip Donahue and not Spider-Man with Lee.
But Spider-Man's so great.
Unless you're picking Tom Holland for Skip Donahue.
That's an interesting choice.
Very, very close. This performance from Gene Wilder was not what I was expecting, because I'm so used to Gene Wilder being the king of freaking out. And he seemed to be very... like unaffected and kind of in control most of the time. But I believe he has, you know, a few moments of flipping out as well, but, it was very much against type in my opinion, because I'm used to movies like, was it See No Evil, Hear No Evil, and Young Frankenstein, The Woman in Red, where he kind of flips out on a regular basis in those movies. But I thought that a really good person to play a role like this would be Jason Mantzoukas, which I think we know from like The League and The Dictator. And I recently watched him in a movie. I think it was an independent movie on Netflix called The Long Dumb Road. I don't know if any of you guys have watched that.
Uh-uh.
No.
It's pretty good.
It's not a parody of The Road, is it?
I don't think so.
Oof. Wow.
It's sort of a, it's another buddy comedy. It's also like a road trip comedy. But it's the other main character is, I forget his name, but he played Zero Mustafa in Grand Budapest Hotel, the young Zero.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So they're like buddies in this, in that movie. But, you know, I just like the way that this character goes through the world just sort of unaffected and just clearly marches to the beat of his own drum. And that's what I thought Jason Mantzoukas could bring to this role.
I agree.
Yeah, that's super great. I like that pick a lot. I just want to see him in more stuff. He was really good in Maria Bamford's TV show, too, which I can't remember the name of. But yeah, he was great in that as well. Yeah.
He's one of my favorite parts of BoJack Horseman, too.
I need to watch that.
You do need to watch that. Yes.
Okay. Deal. I just finished, like, I've been going through some series on my own. Like, you know, Kate and I kind of have like a night where we do our own thing. And I just finished Manhunt Unabomber was the last series I watched. So I feel like I should probably counter that with like something like BoJack, which is a little bit different. Not that BoJack doesn't have its heaviness. It's just very different. It's not Unabomber heaviness.
Check out The Long Dumb Road. I think you'd enjoy it.
Cool. I will do that. Good recommendation. For the role of Skip, originally played by Gene Wilder, Mark went with Jon Favreau. I went with Maya Rudolph. Andy went with Zach Braff. Jer went with Paul Rudd. And Lee went with Jason Mantzoukas. Up next is the role of Harry, originally played by Richard Pryor. Believe it or not, Harry, originally played by the brilliant Richard Pryor, is the straight man in this film, or at least as a straight man can be given Richard Pryor's talent and his willingness to go anywhere with Gene Wilder. This role was very odd to me. It felt like Richard Pryor kind of got the shaft a little bit as far as character development. There wasn't enough attention paid to him based on the talent that he has. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys thought that the same, or we can talk about that in our own picks or in part two, but I just felt like I needed more of that. And I wanted him to go a little bit bigger. Like Richard Pryor can be big, but it's for whatever reason, they were just kind of tame in this movie, like Lee said, and I wanted it to like really go big. And so I decided to go with a performer who can go big in a way that I love, that just absolutely cracks me up every time that they go big. And I think would pair brilliantly with my Skip pick of Maya Rudolph. So I went with Leslie Jones for Harry. I just think the two of them together is just absolute freaking magic. I just want to see that big time. So Leslie. Yeah. So good. I love her so much.
Nice.
Thank you.
I'm sad. She's so great, and I'm sad that she has been relegated to game show host right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure she's making bank, so somebody will cast her in the right comedic role in the right movie, and she'll like find that niche that she is and be able to run with it. But she just makes anything better. I just love that about her. I just think she's so cool.
Yeah.
I just remember when she was like, she just got really into the Olympics, and so they just hired her as a broadcaster. I was like, how awesome is that? Like, you're just really into the Olympics, so you start tweeting about it like mad, and NBC is like, hey, you want to join the team? She's like, yeah. And so they had her do a bunch of broadcasting stuff. Like, how freaking cool is that? That's amazing. That's like Leslie Jones in a nutshell. Jer, on to you. Who is your pick for Harry?
So I agree with you in that Harry's role was odd and oddly subdued. I think that there are a lot of times where you have roles in movies that are small, but the person playing them like steals the show with them, like makes them big. And I think this was the opposite, where you had a big actor that for some reason made a role small, whether it's the writing or they just didn't know what to do with it or what. But Richard Pryor definitely is more talented than this role would have you believe. And I wanted somebody that was going to do a little bit more show stealing or scene stealing, and somebody that could have a lot of the good repartee, witty banter with somebody like Paul Rudd with my skip pick. And so I chose the very wonderfully comedic Maya Rudolph.
Nice. Flipping it.
So if Kyle and I win, Maya Rudolph will have to play both roles.
Now we pretty much have to make that happen. That's pretty great. If anybody could do it, man, Maya is up there of people who could. So, yeah, that's awesome. I like that. It's funny because she could work equally well for both of the things that we mentioned. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To like make it goofier or quirkier or just bigger. Like she can do it all, which is so cool.
Yep. Or play. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm curious to see how we get Paul Rudd and Maya Rudolph in the same prison.
That we leave that to the writers.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I think Maya Rudolph could argue for both Kyle and I's picks. I think Maya Rudolph shines both as the lead and as the sort of sidekick.
Yep.
So she could play either one.
Yeah, agree.
I like her in everything I've seen her in.
She's so funny. She's so talented.
All right. That moves us on to Mark.
Okie dokie. I agree that that Richard Pryor's role was, I guess, underwritten. It was there was just not much done with it. And I don't think Richard Pryor did a lot with it. So I wanted somebody that that I think can do a lot with a little. And bonus that I think he's pretty much the funniest, one of the funniest people that exist. I picked Eddie Griffin.
Interesting. I don't think I've seen anything with him in a long time.
It's been a while, but he is brilliant in things like Undercover Brother. And believe it or not, Deuce Bigelow.
Cool. I will have to seek out more of him.
From the looks of his IMDb, he's done some stand-up stuff recently.
Yeah.
Which I believe would be very, very good, because he is hilarious.
Nice.
Yep. That's my pick for Harry Monroe, is Eddie Griffin. Lee, let's move on to you.
Well, Harry is very unlike Skip in that he's the one who is worried and... understands, all the immediate dangers around them. And unlike Skip, does not really look at the bright side of things. So the person I picked, I almost picked for Skip, but thought just with the differences in their personality, he would be better suited for Harry. So I went Jim Rash.
I'm not familiar.
He played the dean on Community.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's sort of like he reminds me a lot of Gene Wilder, but I actually like him for the role of Harry better because I think he plays nervous and scared really well. So I think he'd be perfect for Harry. And I think it would be really interesting to see him, to see how he plays off of Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah, he is erratic.
Yeah. Extremely talented. I mean, he has an Oscar for screenwriting.
Really?
Yeah, he wrote The Descendants.
Oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Interesting. I always love writer actors. I just think that's an amazing combination. That's so cool.
But, yep, Jim Rash is my pick. And I think we are moving on to Andy.
Yeah. So Andy wanted somebody that was going to, I think, both pair well with Zach Braff and also have kind of that same sort of nervous energy that Richard Pryor brought. And so he chose Donald Faison, who you would know from Scrubs.
I knew it. Mm-hmm. I knew it.
Scrubs reunion.
Yeah.
2022, maybe.
I would actually really like to see that movie.
I really considered him. That was up there for me. I can't remember what I was looking through, but I just happened upon his name. I was like, huh, yeah, maybe. And then I didn't quite get there, but I could see it.
I have no idea what he's been doing the last several years, but he could probably use the work.
Apparently, Andy's been watching Scrubs the last several years because seeing some influence.
It is on Amazon Prime now, so.
Nice.
I've been watching it, too.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. For the role of Harry, originally played by Richard Pryor, I went with Leslie Jones, Jer went with Maya Rudolph, Mark went with Eddie Griffin, Lee went with Jim Rash, and Andy went with Donald Faison. Now we move on to the minor characters, the first of which is Rory. Mark, tell us about Rory.
Will do. Originally played by George Stanford Brown, Rory is one of Skip and Harry's prison friends. One of the few people who is nice to them in prison, though he's originally nice to them because he is sweet on Harry. Rory gets to join Skip and Harry in their hilarious attempt to escape from prison. I didn't want to stray too far from the formula on this one. I just wanted to pick someone who could have that soft delivery, and is just really funny. And I picked Sacha Baron Cohen.
Ooh, nice.
Who we know, of course, as Borat. Although
I like it
for this role, I really like his performance in Talladega Nights, where he played the French yes. driver Jean Girard.
Yes, I love him. He's so good.
Yeah, he is so good.
Amazing. I watched Trial of the Chicago 7 on Netflix. Has anybody watched that recently?
Nay.
Nope.
Okay. It's worth watching. It's an Aaron Sorkin movie. I think it was probably one of those that instead of being in the theaters, Netflix grabbed it and they had it on there. So it's, you know, high caliber. The cast is crazy. Who is the guy from The Theory of Eddie? Oh, Eddie Redmayne, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, lots of big names. And Sacha Baron Cohen plays Abby Hoffman, who is one of the kind of leaders of the movement in Chicago, set up before the Democratic convention. Anyways, I'd recommend it. And Sacha Baron Cohen is really, really good in it. So good on him.
Excellent. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
All right, Lee, let's move on to you.
So Meredith, originally played by Jo Beth Williams, is a fresh-faced attorney who works to prove Skip and Harry's innocence. Romance blossoms between her and Skip, probably more for him than for her. I like the character of Meredith. It's kind of a bummer that she's barely in the movie. You know, I think she's in like the last third of the movie, if that. And, she, you know, I kind of noticed that she suffers a bit from, you know, that old 80s filmmaking trope of just having like token females in things and not really giving them much to do. It would have been nice to see more of this character and, you know, have her be a little bit more involved. But I do like that she's, I guess, you know, she plays a pivotal role in helping to prove their innocence. So I really liked the actress Ana de Armas. I know her mostly from the movie Knives Out.
Yeah.
Where she plays the main character. And also Blade Runner 2049.
Yep.
And I think she's excellent in both of those movies. And they're both very different roles.
Yeah, they are.
And I think she could play this role, but play it a bit, you know, do a little bit more with it, I guess play it a little stronger, have more of a presence, and that's what I would like to see with this character.
I like it.
The original went from zero to stalker in no time flat for Gene Wilder's character, which like kind of made it endearing. At the same time, it made it problematic, I guess, but you kind of like let some of that roll off with 80s movies. But I feel like there would be a better way to do that where like, you know, you could see him going gaga eyes for her, but then like actually build up the relationship between the two instead of just her acknowledging that he exists and him fawning. You know, there's definitely a much better way to kind of like get there.
I think so, too. And I think if you were to do like the exact same script, but just do it today, you know, I think that that character would come off much differently today because I think she suffers from, you know, 80s filmmaking, I guess.
For sure.
So, but let's move on to Kyle.
Yeah, so I will be recasting Grossberger, originally played by Erlen van Linte. Grossberger is the meanest, scariest, and cuddliest mass murderer this side of, well, anywhere. He's the perfect example of not judging a book by its cover or the fact that said book apparently murdered several people. What can he do? This performance was interesting. He has an incredible physical presence. He was also in the movie Running Man. So that's a fun little bit of trivia. Erlend Van Linte was. It was fine. Like, I like that they kind of started him super scary and then brought him into being a real person. Again, in spite of the murdering several people, you know, I thought that was an interesting transition. So I wanted someone who could be physically imposing, could be scary, and could be sweet or cuddly. And really, those three things, like the Venn diagram of all those three things, there's not really many people who can sit in the middle of that. But the one who can sit with great confidence in the middle of those three is Terry Crews. So I just feel like that this yes. role was almost made for Terry Crews. You know, he's big. He's got that look that's just like, I'm not going to mess with you. But then he is just like the sweetest guy at his core. You know, he's just an adorable guy. So he could like do the whole shebang. And I really want to see that. So I'm excited about that.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep. Love it.
Maybe this is getting into part two conversation, but are we being led to believe that Grossberger was just helping them escape, but not escaping himself just to be nice?
I think like they treated him nicely, and so, you know, he is returning the favor, I guess. Yeah,
because we got to about three quarters of the way through that whole thing, and it's like, hold on, are they escaping with a serial killer, and they're the good guys?
Yeah,
but he stayed in prison.
Yeah,
so we're all good.
We're okay. Yeah. Up next is Jesus. Jer, tell us about Jesus.
Jesus is the prison buddy of our heroes and their ticket to freedom, provided they don't get killed by bulls or Craig T. Nelson or prison shanks. He's their tour guide when they first arrive and a pretty nice guy. Jesus was a pretty understated character for the most part and just kind of served as part of their crew. And I would want him to have a little bit more personality. And so I wanted to turn this character into Michael Pena's character from the Ant-Man movies, Luis. And so I chose Michael Pena, and I just want him to play Luis.
Why break a perfect thing? Yeah.
Exactly.
Love that.
Yep.
Same ticks. That's awesome.
Same ticks, same just nonstop talking about everything that they would need to know about every person and everything that goes on in the prison. And yeah. That would be more comedy than I think this whole movie originally had.
I love it. That's a great pick.
And then finally, Andy is recasting the Deputy Wilson, who was originally played by Craig T. Nelson. Deputy Wilson is a jerk. He's a suck up to the warden and hates those sissy Eastern boys who are all soft in the crotch. You know what I mean?
I don't actually. Could you expound upon that?
I don't know.
Okay.
So Andy equates lawmen with superheroes. Those two things are basically the same thing in his head. So if it's a police officer or a sheriff or airport security, they're all superheroes to him. And so when he was looking at Deputy Wilson, the first person that he could come up with is Chris Evans, who you would know as Captain America.
Interesting.
I think of him more as a Human Torch sort of guy.
Yes. Chris Evans, who you would know as the Human Torch from Fantastic Four.
Oh, wait. Yes. I meant one of the seven evil exes from Scott Pilgrim.
That's probably the closest that you're going to get to what we would need for Deputy Wilson.
Yeah. The most sniveling, agreed.
Or his character from Knives Out.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good in that.
Spoiled rich kid.
He's real good.
The sweaters. My God, the sweaters. just want them all. All that cable knit goodness. Man, love it. Nice. Well, those are good picks. We done good, gents. Nice work.
Mm-hmm.
Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you will find show notes with links to all of the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Google Play, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review Remaker's Mark, which would mean the world to us. And now we are also available on YouTube. Search for Remaker's Mark. We are on both Facebook at Remaker's Mark, Twitter at Remaker's Mark, and Instagram at Remaker's Mark Podcast. So please join in on the discussion there as well. So, gents, here's sending good vibes to Andy. I hope that he's feeling better. And thank you for hanging out here and discussing this. It was really fun talking about a goofy movie, and I think we made some really good choices. So until the next time, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.